Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has blessed us once again. He has given us one more opportunity to serve Him in spirit and in truth. You know, I don't know if we'll all make it through the rest of this day, but we have at least gotten this far. So we ought to be thankful to God for that and for nothing else. This morning, before I get started, I want to just make a couple of announcements. Sister Taylor wanted to thank the church for those who prayed for and wished her well and gave calls to her on the death of her mother. She has made it home, but she is resting today because she did two turnaround trips down to Tennessee driving. And she said that she's fine and everything went well, and she wanted to thank the church, and she will be letting you forthcoming with a formal thank you. But let us remember her, and let us remember all of those that are sick this morning. Let us remember Bible class on Wednesday night. Let us come out and help the brethren who teaches the Bible class, give him encouragement as he does a fine job of teaching our Bible class, and supporting those, the rest of us who come out, that we may also be encouraged to continue in Bible class. So let us remember our Bible class. It's only for 1 hour on Wednesday night. And it takes just a little bit. Usually we go a little bit less than 1 hour, to be honest with you. So you don't even have to spend, and whatever comes on Wednesday night, it'll be back on next week anyway. So if you miss it, you'll miss it, but you will hear the Word of God being taught. So try to remember to come out and be with us on Wednesday night. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from Acts chapter 2, the verses 38 through 41. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Lord and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you because you loved us first. We love you because you hold the key to our salvation in your hands, O Lord. We love you, O Lord, because you have given us hope for eternal life with you and your Father, which is in heaven, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you have given us this day. And may the blessings of this day extend into this afternoon and into tonight, as well as we pray for blessings continued for tomorrow. We thank you and we pray for everyone in the congregation this morning. We pray for those who may still be on their way. We pray for them that are already here, and we pray for those who are sick and unable to be here with us this morning. We pray and ask you, O Heavenly Father, that if it be thy will, that you would continue to bless this congregation, bless the leaders of this congregation along with their families. Bless those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, that their families as well as them may also be blessed. Father, continue to bless the churches of Christ everywhere as they strive to hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who, because of their illness, are unable to be with us. And we just pray for those who have lost loved ones in the recent past, and we pray that they may continue to be strong in the faith, O Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Heavenly Father. Now, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray and ask you to be with us as we move on into the next portion of our services. Watch over and keep us, and thank you for hanging and bleeding on yonder's cross. These and all other blessings we continue to ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing once again from Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 40. We're going to kind of jump around in the text of Acts chapter 2. But for a subject we want to talk about, they gladly heard his word. When Christians come together to hear the word of God, a stirring of one's heart should take place. A renewal of righteousness should accompany the hearing of God's word. Forget that you may not like the preacher's style. Forget that you may not like the preacher. We should ask ourselves these questions. Did he or does he speak from God's truth? Did he preach Jesus and him crucified? In other words, did he preach the gospel? This is what happened on the meeting on that day of Pentecost. An outpouring of people heard the word of God. Now, Bible scholars have estimated that there were tens of thousands gathered to be a part of that day which is, was at hand at that time. What's important is what occurred at this meeting site. There was a crowd that was there according to Acts chapter 5, chapter 2 and verse number 5. It said that men, devout men out of every nation under heaven was there. Nothing brightens the heart of a preacher than to look out on a congregation and see it filled with men. And I speak that when we look for men, because men seem to be the missing link in the congregations of most churches of Christ. Men, not that we don't like to see the women as well, but we have come to expect the women will usually outnumber the men in the church. And as I like to say, if the women stayed away, what would happen with the church? It would probably close its doors. So there were two preachers who were discussing how to raise the membership and how to keep members coming back. And as these two preachers were discussing the problem, they began to talk about mice in the church house. And they began to speak about all the mice that were running around the church house. And one of the preachers said to the other one, he said, "I can't seem to get rid of the church mice." The other one said, "Well, do what I did." And he said, "What was that?" And he said, "We baptized them and they never showed up again." So it's like mice and men are sort of alike. When you're baptized, sometimes folks don't want to come back to church. Sometimes they think that's all I need to do is to be baptized and then not show up again at all. In the heart of any preacher, when he looks out in that audience and sees that audience with more men than women, or at least an equal number of men, he begins to feel glad in his heart. So when Peter and those that stood up that day, they looked out and they probably saw a group of men standing there, because the Bible said they were devout men of every nation under heaven. So I'm sure that Peter's heart was brightened and uplifted when he saw all those people. And then in verse number 25, we notice this. We notice that Simeon in chapter 2 and verse number 25, Simeon in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25, Simeon was just a devout man. Now, what is a just and a devout man, or what is just and devout men? That means men who have their minds set on the gospel of Jesus Christ and on Christ. There were devout men in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 2. And then there was a devout man in Acts 8 and 2 who carried Stephen to his burial place, and great weeping was made over him. Where are those men today who would stand up for God? I guess we could say they are all MIAs, if you will. Missing in action, in other words. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church could draw a tenth of those who showed up last week at the Chicago Marathon? If we could just get a few of those men to church. If we could get just a few of those men who attend the baseball game. And I'm a baseball fan, but I'm not going to miss church for a baseball game. If we could get a few of the men who attend a basketball game or a football game or any kind of celebration, if we could just get a few of those men to come into church, the church could fill the seats up, the pews up. But I guess there are more important things to the man, in the mind of some men, or in the mind and heart of some men. Which is greater, a great celebration or hearing the Word of God? And I believe it to be hearing the Word of God. I believe it to be that God's will and God's Word will make a way and make everything a little bit better for all of us. Now, going to church and being in the services of the Lord is not like a marathon. It's not like a game of football or baseball or basketball. But no game of any kind can match the word found in God's Bible. The believers and followers of Christ knew that they had come together, for the Bible tells us that they were all with one accord in one place. When we come together, we should all have the same thing in mind. That is to serve our Lord and our Savior. And I'll say it again, you don't have to like the preacher in order to come to church. You don't have to like what the how the preacher dresses. You don't have to like what kind of shoes he wears on his feet. You don't have to even think about what he looks like. You just need to come to hear the Word of God. So in Acts chapter 2, around verse number 38, look at what the Bible says there. In Acts chapter 2 and 38, the Bible says, in verse number 38 it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now there's a reason to come to church. And I know what some like to say, "I'll just stay at home and do my church service at home." You can't do that. It's not the same thing. I don't care how powerful your computer may be. I don't care what your audio system may be like. You can't serve God in the same way, because God said, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 25, that we, when the doors of the church are open, we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's what I'm talking about, church. That's what I was trying to get out. We ought to be just like those men and those people who were showed up on the day of Pentecost. Be devout men. There was a message that was delivered on that day. Peter, some might say, Peter, of all the disciples, he seemed to be the one who tended to be less polished, if you will. He seemed to be the one who spoke out before he gathered his thoughts. He seemed to be the one who spoke early on and often. How do we know that? Well, then Peter, the speaker in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14. Watch what verse number 14 in Acts 2 says. In verse number 14, the Bible says that Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto him, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my word." So we know Peter was the speaker. We know that he was the speaker of the hour, and he began to preach. Why do we hear, somebody might ask, why do we hear so much about Peter? Well, when we look at his past, we began to question, why was it Peter instead of just say maybe John or Matthew or any of the others? But when we look at Peter's past, we have to kind of question it. But then we don't question it too much, because God picked him to be the speaker at that time. But when we look at Matthew chapter 16 and in verse number 22, we found that it was Peter who rebuked Jesus. He challenged Jesus to prove himself. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 28, he told Jesus in Matthew 14 and 28, he told Jesus that, "If it be thou, let me come to thee on the water." In John chapter 18 and verse 25, he denied Jesus. But then in Matthew chapter 26 and 58, he even followed Jesus afar off. So how and why was Peter the speaker? Well, that's who God put in place to speak. Could any of us today be accused of following Jesus afar off? The answer is yes, unfortunately. Many of us are guilty of being a one-day-a-week Christian, and we are a sometime defender of Christ. Peter became like some of us, or some of us became like Peter in John 21 in verse number 3, where Peter left his ministry and went back to fishing. He had become discouraged. And like some of us, when we get discouraged, when we become discouraged, we leave the church. We leave the church. Even through all of this, though, Peter had on that day in Jerusalem preached Jesus. Or he began to preach Jesus. He preached Jesus. He spoke in Acts chapter 2 and verses 20 through 24 of how that Jesus Christ, a man approved of God, how that wicked men had crucified him. But in Acts 24, in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 24, he pointed out how that through all what these men had did to Christ, God raised him up. Raised him up and loosed the pains of death. Because death could not hold him. This church is what we speak of today. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. Go back with me, if you will, back to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, and look what it says again. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But look at verse 39. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this outward generation." But I like verse number 41, church, and that's where this text, this message is built on. It says in verse number 41, "And they that gladly received his word was baptized on the same day. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now I like it when one soul walks forward and say, "I want to be baptized." But can you imagine the stream of folk that must have came forward that numbered some 3,000 plus souls that were baptized? I tell you, that must have been a happy feeling for that preacher. That must have been a well thought of preacher that day, because he challenged and he received those above 3,000, 3,000 above. This is what we speak today when we speak the message of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we speak this because, why do we speak this? Because that is what's going to save us. That is what we need in order to be saved. Now, so the question becomes the result of the message. Well, the result of the message was this. The people of that day perhaps had came not concerning themselves, many of them, with the Word of God. They had came for a celebration, if you will. But something happened. Something happened on that day. Many in that group were part of the same group that crucified Jesus, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 23. Watch Acts 2 and verse 23. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him." They were still there. They were there, church. And when I look at it, church, when I think about it a little bit, I began to wonder sometimes, what kind of feeling did these men have upon themselves after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that you took part in his crucifixion? It caused them to ask a question that applies to even unto us today. They asked the question, "What shall we do?" What shall we do? I'll tell you what we must do. The same thing today that they did back then in the first century. They heard the word according to Romans 10 and 17. We must hear. They believe what they heard and according to Mark 16 and 16. They were told to repent like we are in Luke 13 and 3. We must confess Jesus to be the Son of God in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ according to Acts chapter 2 and 38. Then we must live a new birth in Christ. And the gift of the Holy Spirit will cause us to think differently. And I sometimes question that. I sometimes question the motives of men. I don't question the Bible. But I sometimes question the motives of men when they say, I'm a Christian now. I live right. Well, perhaps some of them live right as that one day a week Christian, that Sunday Christian. You know, and you know there are those who are Christians are simply 11 o'clock Christians as well. They come in when the clock strikes 11. And they hurry up and get out of the door before you have a chance to shake hands with them. They come in, they rush out, and they want to know, why is the preacher taking so long? I just came here because somebody nagged me to come here. I came here not so much because I trust in God, but because I trust in myself. And I want to get myself right with God, but I don't have time to get myself right with the folk in the church, first of all. How can you be right with God and not love your brother and sister. I used to go to church with some folks sometime, and if you didn't get out of the way as soon as everything was over, if you didn't get out of the way, you would get ran over. You would get ran over, but these folks thought a little bit different back then. Look what verse 41 says. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But look at verse number 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You can't join the church of Christ. You must be added to the church of Christ. You must be added to the church because of your faithfulness and your desire to confess Jesus Christ and be baptized and live a faithful and an obedient life. We must live this new birth. The Bible says that we would have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that we began to talk a little bit different. And most of us, that would be better off for a lot of us, I should say, if we began to talk different. Because some of us, the way we talk, it's a shame. Some of us, the way we think, it's a shame. Some of us, the way we walk through our lives, it's a shame. These people had heard a powerful message and witnessed the coming of the Holy Spirit. All that they believed were together and had one, all things in common. And all things, not some things, but all things, according to verse number 43 of Acts chapter 2. And when you have all things in common, things seem to go better. Things seem to be just a little bit straighter and a little bit righter. And then I'm not arguing with one of the brothers about something that don't even make sense in the first place. And then, when you think about it, when I come to church on Sunday morning, I don't come to church to get into an argument with anybody. I can stay at home and argue by myself. I can stand in the mirror and argue with myself, and I'll always be right. But when I come to church, I come to church to hear the Word of God. I come to church to be with those who care enough about the Lord to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. We should be willing, and we need to be, some of the things that the church folk ought to be doing today is, we need to be glad to hear the Word of God like those folks were. They were glad, they had gladly heard the Word of God. We need to be praising God. Then and only then can the body begin to bulge out and grow, and then all of us, that is all of us in the body, we should want to help one another. Or we should want to visit the sick. And above all, we should want to give to the church. Oh, there he goes again. We should want to give to the church. And I know that's a touchy subject with some of us. Because you say to yourself, I'm going to give just this amount. But I ask you the question this morning. Is that what you purposed in your heart to give? Or did you decide when you got to church, I'm not going to give any more now. I'm going to give just this amount. But when you love the Lord, and I'm going to ask the leaders just from the pulpit here. Leaders, did you put any of my money in your pocket? I think not. I think that you didn't put any money in your pocket, and when I decide to give, I'm giving what the Lord has purposed me to give from my heart. And when you give right, the church can do a better job of doing right and teaching right and being right and helping others. But I like these folk back then. In verse number 43 again, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Look what some of them did in verse number 45. They sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need? Are you giving like you ought to? Are you giving what you can? Or are you giving what you want to give? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now I tell you something, church. I tell you this one thing. When you come to church on Sunday morning, and there are those who say, well, I would go, but I don't like brother and sister so-and-so. And so therefore, are you going to lose your soul and wind up going to hell because you don't like me? I don't think that's a good reason to go to hell. But you must love me, church. You don't have to care about me, but you must love me. So these folk that heard the message, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But then I think about that and I say to myself, what a body of water that had to be that 3,000 souls were baptized on that day. And I began to think out in my own mind. That is my thinking and not necessarily your thinking, because you can't think what I think and I can't think what you think. But I began to think sometimes, how did they get all the folk through? And nobody perhaps were worried about, I want to hurry up and get away from here. They probably said, I'm going to stay and see every last one of them being baptized. Now, I don't know how long it took to baptize 3,000 souls. That's not a concern. The concern is that there were 3,000 souls that got baptized. There were some 3,000 souls. If I get 3 up here, I'm happy. And Brother Jackson just loves the water. And he'll go in there, but if he had to do 3,000, I'm sure he would call for a little help somewhere along the way. But he'd gladly do it, wouldn't you, Brother Jackson? All right, he said amen. So if there's anyone this morning who needs to be baptized, if you've been walking a crooked life and your path is not straight, you ought to be like those folk in Acts chapter 2, and they that gladly heard His word. If you heard His word, you ought to be glad that you heard His word. If you've been walking astray, you need to come back home if you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, and you're walking astray if you're not a Christian. So if you're not a Christian and you want to get yourself on the right path, you come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you have made those steps already, but some way you fell backwards a little bit, and it's not hard to fall backwards in today's society. It's easy for a Christian to get caught up in things of the world. And when we get caught up in things of the world, we have to come back to reality. We have to come back to Christ. And we ask the Lord to forgive us of our trespasses, and then ask the come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. And then there are those who would be ashamed to come forward. But when you think about it, what are you ashamed of? If you did something that caused you to drift in the first place, you ought to be able to drift back in the right way instead of drifting in the wrong way. They that gladly heard the word, they were all together in one accord. That tells us something about the status of the church today. Apparently, we're not all in one accord. Apparently, we want to be standing over here and think that we're getting all the righteousness that's over here. But you can't get the righteousness over here if you're standing over there. So you got to be where the righteousness is. The righteousness is right here. You've got to be where it is. You've got to be here. You've got to be in the body of Christ. And those people were glad to hear about Jesus Christ. Now, I know that when we look back and you look up over the pool there and you see the cross of Jesus Christ, some of you began to think, I know I do, I began to think, and I remember what the words of the Bible says about Jesus, how that He hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross to save us. How that He was thirsty, and how that the disciples, when they first took Him, how many of them ran away from Him. So I asked the question this morning, are you running from Jesus? Are you still standing by His side? Are you standing by the cross and still holding up the blood-stained banner of Jesus? If you're standing by, you're doing well. If you have ran from Jesus, you need to run back in the other direction. Because He's going to come one day and He's coming back for His church. And when He comes, where will you be? Will you be on the outside looking in, or will you be on the inside looking out? You need to ask yourself the question, where do I stand with Jesus Christ today? And was I glad when I heard the word, just like those folk were back then? If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.